Yes, indeed. The Aussies have won the toss and elected to bat. Aaron Finch speaking moments ago.
Has elected to bat, I think I heard there, Finchy.
That's right, mate.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done. And welcome to Fox Cricket for the first time this summer. It's great to have you guys back in the country in extraordinary times. But you just must be, having come out of quarantine yesterday, you must be just jumping out of your skin to get running around.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to have cricket back in Australia in front of some fans as well. It's been a long time since they've been able to come and support us. So, yeah, really excited.
And I think just on the back of that, thank you on behalf of all cricket fans for you players doing what you are prepared to do and just focusing on today, the selection of the team. Mitch Marsh is unavailable from the last starting 11 over there in the UK. Is it just the one new inclusion?
Yeah, just the one change. Steve Smith comes in and replaces him. So, unfortunate that Mitch had that ankle injury. Not a bad player to come in and replace him.
Okay, and batting first, you just think runs on the board to open up the series?
Yeah, it looks like it's a reasonable bit dry, the wicket, so hopefully we can put a decent total on the board and it might slow up and spin a bit later on.
Alright, thanks very much. All the best, buddy.
Aaron Finch there, and a big thanks to Fox Cricket for that audio. Well, we threw it out there before the break. Mike Tyson getting back in the ring. Which 50-year-old would you pay to go and watch do their chosen sport again, whether it be, you know, Michael Jordan, Boris Becker, whoever it might be, several nominations coming through. I tell you what, I would have still pay money to go and watch this man swing the willow because he swung it harder than just about anyone. Love going to the MCG's little tacker to watch him whack the windies all around the MCG. His name's Simon O'Donnell. We got there in the end. Scoob, welcome.
Sabby, nice to be with you and... You make me feel very humbled, Sam.
Do you remember the excitement? I mean, these guys are coming out to play. It's the first obviously international cricket game here in Australia for 8 months. It feels like it's been a long, long time coming. Can you put yourself back in that canary yellow, as the late Tony Gregg would say, and you get excited as they get ready for this one?
Yeah, Sam was in a real upswing, if you like, one day cricket. You know, Kerry Packer had come in and sort of revolutionised the game, and suddenly this 50-over game played at night, you know, day and night, was taking the game by storm. So it went through that, you know, really popular decade, you know, probably more than a decade, 20, 25 years over the journey. But, you know, it was just the form of cricket everyone wanted to go and watch. So it was exciting because you kept playing to packed houses. And you know, you look back and you think, you know, England 215, Australia 212. You think, what a shocking game of cricket. Because now it's, you know, England 360, Australia 364.
And do you think this game will be any different? Obviously, just the one change. Steve Smith comes in. He missed the ODI series, obviously, back there in the UK with concussion. But he comes in for Mitch Marsh. So Stoinis vacates the number three slot, we would think. We wait to see what happens there. But that will happen in all likelihood. So the Aussies relatively settled. Batting first. Look like amazing conditions at the SCG. Do you think a big score's in store here?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, these guys are so refined now and playing their game, and they can play it in any part of the world. The old days where there was a real advantage here in Australia, I think that's pretty much been neutralised in world cricket in a lot of ways, as it has been in the subcontinent. Their sides go and train in Dubai now, and there's pitches made from Australian turf and English turf and Indian turf and Pakistan turf, all those sorts of things. So really, sides adapt all around the world. I expect a ripping series. I expect the Aussies to open up really strongly, as you know they love to do first up in the series. So a lot on this because the one days in the 2020s leading into the Test matches, we don't often see that. So it'd be good to get India in a bit of a stranglehold and a little confused leading into the Test matches later on in the summer.
You're playing against Virat Kohli. How do you handle him? I mean, he's averaging nearly 60 in ODIs. That's obviously clearly the best of anyone with a minimum of 50 matches under the belt. And he's posted 43 centuries in the format too, just for good measure. How would you go about combating him?
Well, I'd start looking really good in the nets pre-game. And I'd twinge a hamstring during the fielding session.
So close your eyes and hope for the best then, basically.
Sam, look, I'm not party to a modern-day team meeting, but they must be extraordinary comments around the abilities of Virat Kohli. Some of the pre-game promotion that I've seen on telly, some of the shots he hits, they're extraordinary cricket shots. And he adapts to all three games. So, again, these guys are so capable of hitting boundaries to all parts of the ground. The bowlers' jobs are a really difficult one. And, Virat Kohli, yes, they'll have their plans, but they've got to be centimetre perfect because if they're not centimetre perfect, they're in a lot of trouble against his class.
So in your day, Simon, were there, you'd have a plan for most bats, I imagine, but even then, were there some guys that you just thought, look, we just got to, he's gonna make runs and he might get himself out, but there's some players you just shrug the shoulders with and you think, you know, we just hope for the best, a bit like this bloke?
Sam, you never went in with that attitude that he's going to make runs. You always went in that you could beat him in the contest. The difference from the 80s and 90s to now, Viv Richards probably is a classic example. Viv would hit you for boundaries in two or three areas. Now, he was regarded as the greatest player of our time. But you look at some of these one-day players now, and AB de Villiers is probably the foremost of these guys in the modern era, Adam Gilchrist, that sort of era onwards. They can hit you for boundaries probably to six or seven parts of the ground. And that was unheard of in our day. So, batting has really, in my opinion, gone ahead and surged ahead. And the bowlers will always say, oh, there's no seam on the ball in their flat decks. But, they've got to learn other ways of stemming the flow. And, I know the boundaries have come in. But in my thinking, the game's gone ahead from a batting perspective. And it's actually neutralised a little bit from a bowling perspective. I'm not sure what the system is to put the bowler back into the game. And in many ways, the people who watch the game don't want the bowlers to dominate. But I would like to see a fairer playing field. And somehow we've got to get the bowlers up another 10 or 15%, I think, in the game of cricket.
Can I just say, though, so I'm pose it like this, how great is it that we've actually got a game on? I don't know what you think, whether Cricket Australia would be, we've just had the first ball bowled there, and would they be breathing, Cricket Australia, just a massive sigh of relief, just knowing, I guess, that after everything we've seen this year, that the summer of cricket is actually underway against India?
Didn't you hear that clink of glasses?
Yeah, spot on.
That came from the Cricket Australia box at the SCG, where everyone just clinked a glass of champagne to think, thank God we're underway. This has been an extraordinary 6 or 8 months. I hope we never live to see another period of time like this, and the stresses that it has caused community and individuals, sporting organisations, business. It's an unbelievable time, and I'm a racing fan. I mean, for racing to stay unscathed, if you like, through this period, it's been an enormous effort. And I'm sure back in 2007, when the horse flu struck, that that put racing in a really good vein to be able to adapt to this pandemic and survive. And all the other sports, I'm not saying racing has set the tone, but they've really worked their butt off. The AFL to get a season away, that was extraordinary. It'll be extraordinary, for cricket to get it away. It's extraordinary that we're walking around our city and our state now and we don't have a case within our borders. Like all those things, it's been a year. I just keep shaking my head. I haven't got my head around it, and I probably find my solace in the bottom of a glass sometimes. It's like beauty. Go to sleep now, not worry about it anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, so just before we let you go, as I cast my eye back up to the screen here watching this match, someone that I'm sure you take real pleasure in watching, Glenn Maxwell. I think for a long time, particularly in the limited overs format, we as in Australia have wrestled, where did we get the best out of someone like Glenn Maxwell? And he appeared to find real success against England, most recently batting at seven. Obviously, was huge in that game through that deciding game there. Would you like to let him stay there at seven? And where do you think Glenn Maxwell, someone who comes in late and does such a good job, where do you think he's best suited?
Yeah, look, I don't know the internal politics of Glenn Maxwell, Sam. What I do know is, if under normal circumstances. Now, I think the selectors have been really poor with Glenn Maxwell. I don't think they've given him the guidance or the direction that Glenn Maxwell needed or needs. And, you know, that falls, as far as I'm concerned, you know, right at the floor of the selectors' room, that, you know, you've got to give guidance of what you want players to do and what game you want them to play. And you know, he's been up and down the order. He's been all over the place. He bowls sometimes. He doesn't bowl others. Mm. So I think with the right direction, Glenn Maxwell, you know, 10 years ago, would still be a dynamo now. Now, I don't think he was really given that chance. Now, I don't know if that was a personality clash. I'm not sure what it is. But we see all these people walking around the fringe of cricket now, psychologists and, you know, people that, you know, please go and have a chat to. There's bowling coaches, fielding coaches, running coaches, you know, dietitians. There's every person in the world. If you couldn't get to the bottom of Glenn Maxwell and guide him, and probably the example I use is a Craig Bellamy at Melbourne Storm. Here's your role, play it, and we'll be successful. Here's your role, play it, and we'll be successful. I just think that's what he needed as a young man, and I don't believe anyone gave him that direction. Mm. And I think that was very poor at the start of his career.
Did you get that cattle rounded up in the end?
Oh, mate, Fettinger, you could see me now. I'm dusty. They say in life, don't work with children and animals.
Correct.
I'm buggered, pal. I'm knackered. I've got horses here, and I've got cattle going all over the place. Although we found finally rounded them up. There's some new cattle arrived yesterday that I bought, Jimmy, and they didn't like the look of my place initially, and they caused a few challenges, but persistence always wins.
Oh, it's a bit of Mel Meninga there. I'm buggered, but it's pretty warm out there, Scoob, so you've done well. You've earned one, so put the feet up, watch the cricket. I appreciate you peeling off a few minutes for us. Great to talk to you as always.
Good on you, Seb.
Simon O'Donnell there, SEN cricket and racing expert, of course. The game itself that I speak of, we're one over old. It's none for one. Just a slow start for the Aussies on Fox Sports. And Pete, I think, wants to talk about exactly where this game is being shown. How you doing, Pete?
Yeah, you there, man?
Oh, I'm there, man. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm just really disappointed. Got home from work today and just thought I'd come home, put the cricket on, 2:40. There's nothing on. What's going on?
No, well, we spent a bit of time, Pete, talking about this earlier in the show, that it might have snuck up on a few people, but this is just the broadcast rights agreement that's been put in place between Cricket Australia, Foxtel, KO, I think we can throw in as well, and Channel 7. So no limited overs men's international cricket is on free-to-air, Pete.
Yeah, very disappointing for every, like, person coming home from work trying to watch it. Yeah, very.
I can understand your frustration, Pete, but you can always get yourself onto, you know, Foxtel's not your game, maybe KO or something. So there are a couple of avenues there, but again, yep, they are paid for services. Appreciate the call, Pete. Martin is in Glebe. We want to talk about Glennie Maxwell there, Martin, who we just ran past Simon O'Donnell.
Yeah, Simon, yeah, I was a whisker off going, I'm an ex-Assumption boy. I nearly went to school with Simon, but anyway, look, it's very hot up here. Glenn Maxwell's an absolute champion, and I just wanted to put a feather in Glenn Maxwell's cap because I asked too much of Glenn, and he goes in too late at 7. And when he goes in, generally the team's in trouble, and he's got to fight his way out of the bag for the team every time. And he should be at number 5, rock solid. Let him just go ballistic, even at 4, and you know, he'll probably win the game. Otherwise, if he loses his wicket early, he'll either make a duck or 100.
Yeah.
And he's just a magnificent player to watch. And let him go. Put him in at 3 or 4 and don't put him in at 7. For goodness sake, you're crucifying him. Because when he gets on into his into gear, most of the time it's too late. But he saves 9 out of 10 games. He's an absolute legend. He's a magnificent cricketer, and hats off to Glenn Maxwell. He's right up there with the elite. He's better than the best.
Good on you, Martin. Appreciate your call. Well said. When he's up and going, he's majestic to watch, isn't he? It has been a riddle somewhat, as we were saying with Simon O'Donnell, where he is best served. But if it's any guide, I've just seen the batting order. He is listed at 7 at the moment, Martin. So we'll obviously see how the match plays out anyway and whether he actually, A, gets a bat and, B, does bat at 7. You're listening to Afternoons here on SEN for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And for Summit Internet, answer phones from anywhere on any device. Alex and Caroline Springs, sit tight. We'll come to you and we'll wrap up on the other side of this.